Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nobody but God. Amen, amen. As long as the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The blood.
As long as the blood was left in the basin, it has no effect. Oh, when it's poured out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If it wasn't for the blood.
Hallelujah. My God Almighty. But I want you to know tonight's your night to declare and decree the word of the living God. So your time is now. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Dr. Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in the Acres Home area in Houston, Texas at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas. I love to see your face in the place. Come by and worship with us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday nights, Bible studies at 7 p.m. That's at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Well, if you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 31, and let's get into the Word. Psalm 31, I'd like to say hello to Dr. Hunter, Apostle Hunter. God bless you. I thank you for all the great work that you're doing. And I'd just like to say hello to all those who are listening, and God bless you. Psalm 31, and look at verses 24. The Scripture says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." He will strengthen your heart, all those that hope in the Lord. That word hope is your call in Hebrew. And it means to wait, to be patient, to have an expectation. It means to expect. It means to stay. It means to trust. So we need to stay in God. We need to wait on God. We need to be patient in God. We need to have an expectation that God is going to do something, what he promised for us. We need to expect him to do a miracle in our life, to bring us out of trouble, to help us. We need to trust in him. That word is yakal. Yakal is the word for hope in Hebrew, yakal. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. The message is hope in God. That's the message. Hope in God. And when I say God, I got to make it clear because some people worship Buddha. Some people, that Buddha is their God. Muhammad is some people's God. And I tell you, people have so many different false gods. But no, I'm talking about hoping in Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who I'm talking about. Hope in Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Hope in Yahweh. Hope in the only true living God, because all those other gods are false. They're dead. They can't answer you. They decay. They're made by man's hands. I tell you, those other gods are not real gods. They can do nothing for you. They can't hear you because they don't exist. They're false. I'm talking about hoping in Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the creator of heaven and earth, the eternal God. He always was and he always will be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hope in that God. Wait on that God. Be patient. Have an expectation that he's going to come through for you. To trust in him. Trust in him. And stay in him. Don't be jumping in and jumping out. Jumping in and jumping out. This message is to encourage you to stay in God. To hope in God, to trust in him. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's look at verses 7 and 8. That the scripture says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, or happy. How happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord? For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be wearied in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Even when you trust in Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, when you trust in him, even in times of crisis in the world, God's going to take care of you. You'll still flourish. You'll still be taken care of. You'll still bring forth fruit. You'll still be successful when everything else in the world is falling apart. God will still cause you to be a success when your trust, when your hope is in him. Isn't that good news? That's wonderful news. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And let's look at verses 5 through 8. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, and they should make them known to their children. We ought to make the word of God known to our children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We need to teach our children the word of God so that they can teach their children, and then their children will teach their children, and then their children's children's children will teach their children, so on and so on and so on. We need to teach our children the word of God, for they might set their hope in God. We need to teach them the word of God so that they will hope in God. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, Yahweh. We need to teach our children the word of God so that they can place their hope in God, so that they'll learn to wait on God and to be patient in God and to expect God to help them, give them a helping hand. We need to teach them the word of God so that they will stay in God, so that they will trust in God. That's why we should teach our children the word of God. Verse 7 says in 78 of Psalm, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You see, we got to teach our children the word of God so that they will continue, that they will hope in God. The message tonight is hope in God. This message is to encourage you to hope in God and show you actually what it means to hope in God, which it means to wait, to be patient. The Hebrew word is yakal, and it means to wait. It means to be patient. Just because you don't see anything happening in your life right now that God has promised you, just because it hasn't manifested right now, doesn't mean that it's not going to manifest. You need to yakal. You need to hope in God. You need to wait on him. You need to be patient in him. You need to keep your expectation that he's going to do it for you, and you got to continue to trust in him and to stay in him. God promised Abram that he would be the father of many nations. How many of you all know that Abram had to wait 25 years? You see, we got to wait. We got to keep our expectation like Abraham did. We got to wait and stay in God and continue to trust in God. And surely after 25 years had gone by since God had given Abraham the promise, 25 years went by and it came to pass. Joseph, God gave Joseph a dream. It took 13 years before it to manifest and come to pass. You see, we got to learn how to yakal. We got to learn how to hope in God, to wait on God, be patient, and have an expectation that he's going to do it, and we need to continue to trust in God and stay in God. just because what God has shown you in your dream or given you by prophecy, just because it hasn't come to pass, we got to continue to your call to hope in God, trust in him. And that's the message that God is giving me for you tonight. Hope in God. Hope in God. Jesse Jackson said something that was very powerful years ago in the Democratic at the Democratic Convention. In his speech, he said, "Keep hope alive." And I tell you, that was a mouthful. That's what we ought to do. We ought to keep hope alive. Oh, yeah, keep hope alive. Because sometimes in life, it seems like what God has promised you through his word is not going to come to pass. I'm here to tell you by the word of God that it is going to come to pass. God has a set season and an appointed time for it to come to pass. The times and the seasons are in his hand, and it will come to pass. We need to just keep our hope in God. We need to wait on him. Wait on him. You're not wasting your time when you wait on God. You need to wait on him. You need to, that word wait means to hope. That word hope in Hebrew is your call. We need to your call in God. We need to wait on him, hope in him. A lot of people, they miss out on the promises of God, seeing them manifested in their lives because they don't stay in God. They jump off the ship. They jump off the boat. They throw in the towel. They give up. You can't give up.
Yeah.
You got to hang in there. Abraham hung in there for 25 years.
Yeah.
He was calling himself Abraham, which meant father of many nations.
Really?
Can you imagine how the people looked at him because he didn't have any children? But he hung in there. He continued to hope in God. The Bible said that he staggered not at the promises of God over in Romans. He staggered not at the promises of God because he knew that God was well able to bring it to pass. We got to trust in God. When you can't trace him, trust in him. When you can't trace him and figure out what God is doing, trust in him. Your call, hope in God. One of the things that hoping in God brings is strength. Oh, good God Almighty. I tell you, when you hope in God, when you put your trust in him, when you expect and wait on him and stay in him, when you continue to your call in Hebrew, which means hope, when you continue to your call, when you hope in God, number one, that will bring you strength. He will strengthen you as long as you hope in him. He will strengthen you when you need strength. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It brings strength when we keep our hope in God. A lot of people, they fall out of the will of God because they get depressed and they get weak and they throw in the towel and they give up. Why? Because they stop hoping in God. You've got to continue to hope in God. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't hope into God today and not hope in him tomorrow. Stay in him. Hope in him. Your call. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Listen to what it says. Isaiah 40:31. It says, "But they that wait your call, they that your call upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, they that stay in the Lord, they that trust in the Lord, they that keep an expectation that God's going to come through for them, they that be patient." That's what that word means. They that you're called, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. You see? God will strengthen you. He will bring strength in you so that you can go the long haul. Good God Almighty. God wants us to go the long haul. That's right. We want friends that will go the long haul with us. We want church members that will go the long haul with us. We want associates and minister partners to go the long haul with us. Well, we ought to go the long haul with God. And when we do that, it brings us strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Good God Almighty. You'll be strengthened. When you hope in God, it brings you strength. Agreeing your strength. You get so weak when you give up on God and yourself. You know, when you give up. When you give up, you know you've given up. You know you become weak immediately. But when your hope is in God, when you're continually hoping that and expecting God to come through for you, he will strengthen you. He will bring strength in you so you can go the long haul. When you hope in God, hoping in God brings rest. Number one, it brings strength. Number two, it brings rest. You'll be able to rest. You'll be able to have sweet rest when you hope in God. And when you hope in man, you're going to get weak. And sometimes when you hope in man, you're not going to be able to get any rest. But all the time when you hope in God, it'll bring you strength and it'll bring you rest. In Acts chapter 2, verse 25 through 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 25 through 28. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. See? He said, my flesh will what? Rest how? In hope. You see, you can find hope. Hoping in God brings us what? Rest. And I'm going to stop right there, but you can read on through Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. See, hoping in God brings you what? Rest. Go to bed. You don't have to sit up worrying all night. The Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers. He's up. So you don't have to stay up. You go ahead and go to bed. God is up for both of us. Glory to God. He never slumbers nor sleeps, but we need our rest. So when we're going through difficult times, go ahead and rest. Just hope in God and go ahead and rest. Hoping in God brings us rest. Isn't that beautiful? That is wonderful. That's why David said, I will lift up my eyes toward the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I tell you, and he neither slumbers nor what? Sleeps. So we need to go ahead and go to bed at night and let God stay up for the both of us. Amen? Hoping in God brings strength. Hoping in God brings rest. Hoping in God brings deliverance. Deliverance. Hoping in God brings deliverance. Look at Psalm 33. When you're hoping in God, God will continue to deliver you out of any and every situation. Psalm 33, look at verse 18 and 19. Behold, I love this scripture. Behold, Psalm 33, verse 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Good God Almighty. When you're hoping in God to do good toward you, his eye is on you. When you hope in him, his eye is on you. When you hope in God, his eye is on you. His eye is on you to show you mercy, to show you his kindnesses, to deliver you. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 19. To deliver thy soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You see, when your hope is in God, his eye is on you to show his mercy toward you, to deliver you and to keep you alive even if famine is upon the earth, God Almighty. Hoping in God brings us what? Deliverance. Hoping in God brings us deliverance. When we're hoping in God here, according to the scripture, his eye is on us. So just the opposite of that, when we are not hoping in God, his eye is not on us. When we're hoping in God, the scripture here says that his eye is on us, to show us his kindnesses, to deliver us, and to keep us alive in famine. This is wonderful news. This is good news. See, God is telling us, don't worry. We need to hope in him and wait on him and stay in him and trust in him and expect him to work on our behalf. Good God Almighty. God wants you and I in the midst of any situation to hope in him. When we hope in him, according to Psalm 33:18, his eye is on us to show us deliverance and kindness and to keep us alive even in times of famine or crisis in this earth realm. Good God Almighty. That's a wonderful promise we have from God right there. I'll tell you, if you're having symptoms in your body, hope in God, then his eye is on you to deliver you. God is not a man that he should lie. When you hope in him, which means to wait on him, be patient in him, expect him to work on your behalf, to stay in him, to trust in him, your call is the Hebrew word, and it means to wait, to hope, to be patient, to expect him to work on our behalf, to stay in him, to trust in him. The scripture says when we hope in him, his eye is on us to deliver us, to show kindness toward us, to keep us alive in famine. Hope in God.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. Hoping in God brings strength. Number one, it brings rest. Number three, it brings deliverance. God will make you whole when you hope in him.
Yes.
He'll deliver you and make you whole.
Yes.
Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Make you whole in your body. Make you whole in your mind. Make you whole in your relationships. Make you whole in your business. Make you whole. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved, how? By hope. Good God Almighty. Now, what does that word saved mean? That word saved means protected. We are protected by what? Hoping in God. It means healed. We are healed, how? By hoping in God. It means preserved. We are preserved, how? When we hope in God. You see, that word saved right there, for we are saved by hope, that word saved means protected, healed, preserved, and made whole. So when we hope in God, he what? Protects us, heals us, preserves us, makes us whole.
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's wonderful news. That's wonderful news, child of God. Let me tell you something. You don't have to die before your time.
No.
God promises every man on earth in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, he promises us 120 years. He said that man's day shall be 120 years. The reason people have been dying at 70 and 80 and early is because they've been preparing to die at 70 and 80. They believe that they only had 70 to 80 years to live. See, they got some misinformation. They got some bad information, and they believed that, and sure enough, people started dying at 70 and 80. But no, transform your mind, renew your mind by the word of God. Genesis 6:3, God says, man's days shall be 120 years. Your body, at the minimum, is to live 120 years. All you've got to do is make up your mind, believe the word of God, and it will be 120 years for you.
Yes, indeed.
You've got the hope in God. Be ye not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I tell you, when you get this word of God in your mind, it'll take you where the word of God says you can go.
Amen.
You've got the hope. Hoping in God brings strength. Hoping in God brings rest. Hoping in God brings deliverance. Hoping in God also brings favor. Good God Almighty. Hoping in God brings favor.
Yeah.
Favor. That word favor, also another word that's used, is grace. Grace and favor mean the same thing. Hoping in God brings grace. Hoping in God brings what? Favor.
Favor.
I like God's favor.
Yeah.
Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3.
Yes.
Lamentations chapter 3, and look at verse 26. The scripture, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26 says, it is good that a man should hope what? Here it is. Hope. There it is again. It is good that a man should both what? Hope. See, it's good when we hope, Apostle.
Yes.
It's good when we hope. Everyone who's listening, when you're hoping, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to hope. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Good God Almighty. For it will surely come. You see, see that word salvation? It also means favor. The favor of the Lord. Look at verse 31. Go down to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. He will not cast off forever. See, it is good to hope in God. It brings what? Salvation. God will favor you. He will favor you when you hope in him. Not only does it bring strength and rest and deliverance and favor, but it brings joy. Good God Almighty. When you hope in God, it brings joy. You're going to be joyful. You're going to be happy. You're going to be joyful. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. The reason a lot of people are walking around looking like they've been baptized in prune juice is because they're not hoping in God. They're not hoping in God. That's why they're not joyful. That's why they're not happy. But because when you hope in God, that brings what? Joy. That brings happiness. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. Listen to what it says. It says, the hope of the righteous shall be glad. Gladness and joy and happiness mean the same thing. You see, in hope, you shall be what? Glad. You're going to be joyful. You're going to be happy. And that word glad means joyfulness. It means happiness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You see, the hope of the righteous shall be what? Gladness.
Man.
The hope of the righteous shall be glad. You're going to be joyful. Hoping in God brings joy. Isn't that wonderful? And my last scripture, look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. The scripture says, blessed means what? How happy. How happy is the man that trusted in the Lord. To hope in God, your call, it also means what? Trust. You see?
Trust.
Happy is the man that you call, that trust, that hope in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. You see? Hoping in the Lord brings joy. It brings joy. And the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you want your body to be strong and healthy and healed, good God Almighty, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Hope in God. Hoping in God, it brings strength. It brings rest. It brings deliverance. It brings favor. And it brings joy. And that's the word that the Lord gave me to bring tonight, Apostle. And glory to God, and I thank you.
And I thank God for you for what you've done under condition. And we just say praise the living God for the hope that we have. Hope in God. We have nobody
hope in God.
Hope in God.
Hope in God.
Hope in God. Hope in God. Hallelujah. Nobody.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right.
Hallelujah.
So,
you know, can I say something, Apostle?
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
There's a great coach. See, there's a lot of us, you know, as saints, as Christians, we want what God has, but we don't want to do what he says, see? We don't want to do what he says. If we want the benefits that God and the promises that God has given us, we've got to do what he says. You know, Yeshua was in a village one day, Apostle Hunter. He was in a village one day. And the Bible says that he wanted to heal everybody. But he couldn't heal everybody, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. See, if we want what God says that he has for us, we got to do what he say. We got to believe he can do it and do what he say. I was listening to a basketball coach. His name is Calipari, and he's the coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. He is a great basketball coach. and they had him wired up with a mic, and I heard him talking on the sideline. He pulled a player out of the game. He pulled one of his players out of the game and put him on the bench. And I heard him say this to that player. He said, "If I can't coach you, I can't play." Good God Almighty. He said, "If I can't coach you, I can't play you." In other words, he said, "If you ain't going to listen to me, I can't put you out there to play." He told that young man, I said, that was so good. He said, "If I can't coach you, I can't play you." And that's what God is saying to us right today.
Yeah.
If you're not going to listen to me, I can't do the things that I want to do for you.
Amen.
If I can't coach you,
I can't play you. I like that. I like that. If I can't coach you, I can't play you. In other words,
if you can't obey God,
and all I can do is say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's done tonight. So we got a pastor here that we've been listening for a long time. He's a good love friend. Pastor Aaron, are you there?
Yeah. How you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. Hearing your voice, I am blessed.
Amen. I'm sorry I missed last week. I had a lot of things going, but and it just you wouldn't want to hear what was on my mind. I was blessed to hear it.
Amen. Well, God is so good. Tell us what God has laid on. See, we just believe when the Word of God come on, we keep afloat. In other words, like the preacher said earlier, the apostle said earlier, if I can't coach, you can't play. And God's going to say to those on the radio station, if we can't coach you, you sure can't play. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that.
Amen.
But, you know, last night I was at a men's meeting, and it was kind of really interesting. The pastor that was hosting it, he had one thing, and it was, he says, first, Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. And there are none that does good. You know, then he went into the next thing and he said, how many of you at one time or another said there was no God? And he said, how many at that one point in your life you said in your heart there was no God? And we see in the world today that there's so many that are rejecting God. And it's nothing to do with the fact that God's not real. God is real, because most of those that have had no experience with God are the ones who are crying out that there is no God. But I do believe that once you've had an experience with the Lord, you can't deny the fact that there is a God. You can't deny the fact that His grace and His goodness and His mercy. Satan also knows. He knows God's word better than you and I. He knows God, how He operates, better than you and I. The kingdom of heaven and all the glory that's in heaven that He has given unto us, Satan knows this. And he does everything in his power to keep it from us. And he does that in many ways. He does that. He attacks our spirit. He attacks our hope. He attacks the things about us. He uses the things of the world, where a lot of people fall because they start to look to the world, the worldly goods and worldly things, and not what God has spoken about. And He says to speak, to look at the heavenly things, and not that which is of the world, but the riches of heaven. And Satan knows this. And he's seen that. He sees that in each and every one of us. You know, at some point in our lives, but we've even been taught prior to that, for the last 40, 50 years, 60 years, when the insurance companies and they come into play, and they would sit there and they would tell you after you had an accident, don't claim it. Don't claim that it was your fault. Don't claim it. And so we've been taught up for the last 60 years or better. And that's almost about the same time when we started, this nation started to decline, 67 years ago. And we've been seeing it and we've been watching it, and it's gradually. And now to the point now that it's, hey, it's not my fault. I was born this way. It's not my fault because my mother and father were abusive. It's not my fault because my teacher hated me. It's not my fault. And we've got to the point where we don't take accountability to ourselves. And we find ourselves, many, not a lot, but many of us find ourselves cursing God. For even the insurance company sits there and it says when a hurricane comes, it's an act of God. Now, how could the God who is merciful bring a storm to destroy? Because if he got up out of the boat and he spoke to the winds to calm the seas and calm the storm, why would he sit there and create an atmosphere that would destroy? He's not a destroyer, but a giver of life, a giver of joy, peace, of love. He's a giver. He's the creator of life, not the destroyer of life. We've had so many people who, over the years, have claimed. I used to know a pastor in the Carolinas. Every day he would sit there and say, "Boy, old devil, he just gave me a way to go today. Oh, old devil, he just, boy, I'll tell you what." Why claim that? You had a flat tire, you had a flat tire. Why give the devil credence that he got over on you?
Yeah.
These are the things that we're doing to ourselves. These are the things that we're doing in our churches. We're doing because we're saying things like this. Even though they're in some respect meaningless in one hand, but at the same time, every time you give the devil credit, you understand? Every time you give him credit, you give him credence over that, your life, that little piece, you're giving it to him. You're giving him the credit, and you're taking the credit from the Lord that was going to steer you from that harm, to steer you away from all that stuff that is coming against you, that he's there to stand with you, to protect you, and to be with you. And yet, we keep looking at the worldly things, and we're seeing all this coming against us, and we start speaking against the Lord. We start speaking against his will. We start speaking things that it draws that stuff that is coming against us more and more intense into existence in our lives.
Imagine.
And this is where we got to stop. And in the churches, in all respect, we're not teaching the power that we have, that the Lord has given us. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, all power that was given unto him, he gave the authority, gave the power to who? You and me.
That's it.
And if we knew how to walk in that power, if we knew how to walk in that strength, we knew how to walk in that glory, if we could understand, and the churches aren't teaching a lot of that. I sit there and try to make the realist of it, because the guys were just saying, yeah. And I said, well, look, let me do it this way. And I took a piece of candy, and it was in a wrapper. And I walked over to one of the men, and I said, "Here." And I gave him that piece of candy. I said, "Now you got the authority." He said, "What am I supposed to do with this?" I said, Exactly. I said, "It's a piece of candy and a pretty piece of wrapping." I said, "And that's all it is." But right into that piece of candy, and that it representing the authority that God has given you, and you don't know how to use it. All it does, it looks pretty. It's all wrapped up in that piece of paper, and you can't taste it. You got to understand what God has placed in your lives when you ask Christ to come into your life, and the authority and the ability to be able to walk in it, to be able to understand it. It's like that piece of candy. Until you can take that wrapper off it and taste it, you have no idea how you can get over on Satan. No matter what tricks he tries to pull, you can just look right at him and smile and laugh and say, what? You tried to defeat the Lord once, and it didn't work. You tried to defeat him again, and it didn't work. You're trying to defeat me, and it's not happening, because I know my authority. I know the inheritance that what the Lord has given me here on earth as well as in heaven. We have that authority. We have all that glory. We have so much power. I've said in meetings with there'd be a room full of ministers. And I would just look over that room and I says, if all of us got together and understood, truly understood, the power that's in this room, we can move mountains. We could change the world.
Amen.
And a lot of the churches are differing from one another, one religion to this religion, to that doctrine to this doctrine, and instead of uniting and coming together. See, God, Satan's good. He's clever. He's kept the churches separated. He's tried to, as we try to unify, he tries to separate. He comes in, brings division into the churches, into the house of God. He tries to bring all this stuff in, and it keeps us separated, keeps us fighting, just like the tribes of Israel and Ishmael.
Yeah.
The tribes are constantly fighting one another. The tribe of Judah and all the others, you know. If we can go on in explanation of this after explanation, but as long as there's division in the body of Christ, it can't unify and it cannot operate as one. We can see how Satan has pulled the churches apart. He's got into the mix of it. He has put himself into the pulpits in a lot of places. And we're watching the world unify against the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're watching. We're seeing it day in and day out. Every day we're watching Satan unify his corrupt army, his nation, and he's dividing and he's tearing apart the body of Christ.
My God.
And we have the authority. We just got to stop looking at the natural, and we've got to start looking at the supernatural. We got to start walking into that glory. We got to start accepting and realizing the heritage we have. You know, God has placed us in high places. He has seated us right along with Christ. He has put us in the same position, because Jesus says, where I am, you are. Right?
Amen. Amen.
So Christ sitting on the throne in heaven, are we not sitting next to him? And we can go on and on and on in the heaven. Our spirit world is so much different than our natural world. And yet the connection that God has put in us for each of us who come to Christ and understand that.
Uh-huh.
See, the foolish man says there is no God because they neither have experienced God, the true likeness and the true experience of God. But those who have, and yet they're weakened and they're falling away because we're not teaching them how to fight the Spirit. We're not teaching them how to fight in the spirit realm. We're not teaching them how to be able to grasp a hold of what God has placed in our hands, in the midst of our hearts, in our lives, in our spirit world, where we can go and attach ourselves to that and walk in that glory and be in that glory and let that glory sit there shine right here upon earth where I stand today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We, as the body of Christ, us, the leaders of the church, and members of the body of Christ, need to start and start to think and start going into the realization and understanding. We need to start teaching in the, that of the spirit realm of Christ. A lot of sisters say, well, that's voodoo type of stuff. You know, we really don't want to scare the congregation. We want to keep them in the pews, you know. We'll just give them milk so we can just keep feeding them, you know, and yet they're falling away. We're losing them because we haven't given equipped them to be able to fight.
Amen.
We need to be able to start to equip them. Show them what the sword of that the Lord has put it, placed in our hands. Show them what the shield is. Show them what the helmet is. Show them the things that the Lord has given us and to be able to walk in it. I mean, I know, I understand that not everybody is prophetic. I understand, I know that not everybody is called to the same order. I mean, there's pastors, there's preachers, there's teachers. You know what I'm saying? But we are all called to be able to minister to those people's needs and be able to sit there and teach them and let them draw on the experience that God has placed in their hearts and in their lives and let them be able to understand. Let them be able to take that piece of paper off that candy and let them taste the sweetness of what God has given us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we cannot be afraid anymore whether we offend somebody that is sitting in the pews or not. Because at some point God's going to sit there and say, hey, what happened to Joe Blow? Or what happened to Susie May? What happened to them? Why didn't you teach them? Why didn't you tell them? Well, we were afraid that if we sat there and got into that with them, we would scare them because they would have no understanding. That's right. They don't have no understanding because you did not take it upon yourselves to teach them. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying, what would happen if God would sit there and would ask you that?
My God.
We're held accountable, are we not?
Yes.
And if we do have the understanding and knowledge and be able to walk into that spirit realm and walk into that in the supernatural and experience it, are we not also supposed to share that, the same experience, with those here? Because
yes.
If we leave, they're going to be here, and if they are not equipped to be able to fight and be able to take that upon themselves to teach others so they will not fall, so they will not waver, and they will not succumb to the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor?
Yes.
Pastor?
Yes.
There's some people online need prayer. They need us to pray for them. Can you do it?
Sure can.
Okay,
I sure
hold on.
Can.
All right, hold on. Hello, you're on the prayer. You're on the radio station. Can we help you? Hello. Here's another. Let's see. We on the radio. Can we help you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Hi, my name is Latasha. I need prayer. And I'm going to court very, very soon. I'll be going to court February the 9th with my children. And I need prayer to see me and my children through.
You see, you're going to court? You're breaking up a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody. Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can sit there and change the heart of man?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that God can sit there and make a way when there seems to be no way?
Yes, I do.
All right. Okay. Father, thank you. Father, thank you right now, Lord, for helping this family, Lord, this woman with her children, Lord. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that the judge that hears her case, Lord, will find leniency, Lord, find understanding, Lord, and be able to, with more wisdom, Lord, to resolve the case that's before them, Lord. for the protection of this family, Lord, for their children, Lord. Lord, that you would be there on their bench. You would be their lawyer. Father, that you would be their judge. Father, that you would be that who you said you would be in their lives, Lord, their protector, that you'd watch over them. Father, I ask that you would put them in your arms right now, Lord, and cover them with your blood. As you right now, this word, Lord. And, Lord, we ask that for the hearts to be changed in that courtroom, Lord, from the defendant lawyer to the judge, to anyone else that's in that courtroom that is listening, that is bringing charges up against this woman for whatever reason they are, Lord. You know the truth. You know this woman's heart. And you know what's best for this family, Lord. I'm asking for leniency, Lord. I'm asking right now for leniency. I'm asking for wisdom upon the judge, Lord. And I'm asking you that we be able to change the hearts of those that are all involved in this, Lord. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name that your will be done. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Anybody
else got a prayer request? Anybody else? Amen. Well, one thing I would say to you tonight is that what God is doing across America, we have to take the full authority. We have to have hope in God and believe God, because God's going to do it. He's already started moving in the lives of the believer. It's according to us who believe. Amen. An apostle and pastor and a prophetess and to this beloved sister, I want you to know that God can do anything he wants to do. But it's according to the faith that we have in him.
Yeah.
It's the faith that we have in him.
That's right.
Amen.
And when we come to him, as the pastor was praying, when we ask God to block, to bind, and God's going to do it, but it's according to our faith. Now, we're standing with you, sister, and those out there that listen, we're standing with you in the fullness. And what God's going to do, and I want you to know this much. One thing I've been praying for, and I know that I got one or two on the radio station, but I'm going to speak this word. I've been praying for over 3 years to get this on the radio station. All of a sudden, one Wednesday, now we're going to be on the radio every Wednesday morning from 7 to 8, having prayer across the nation. Because our nation's in trouble. The family's in trouble. The children in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And both houses of Congress, they're in trouble. The president's in trouble. They've all started looking down the wrong road. And so we believe have to take our stand. And from the first message of this night, who says, hope in God. Now, I don't know what else to say. I don't hope in the devil. I hope the devil. See, but I've come to understand this. And somebody told me, said, don't talk too much about the devil. Put the devil at quiet. And what I want to tell you. Hello out there. You. Okay. Mute your phone. All right.
Amen.
So, one thing you see, the technology is more powerful. I want to say this tonight. Also, this pastor has a program that's coming up. Give him a few minutes to talk about it. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor Irwin.
Well, I'm excited that you want to be a part of it yourself and bring the ministry, your radio broadcast here. What happened is this is the story that's been taking place for the last couple of years. I envisioned a year or so ago a big tent, circus tent type of a deal, because I do a lot of the stuff with my ministry. And I take my tent out and pray for people. Anyhow, I saw this vision of this great big tent, this circus tent, and I'm going, where am I going to put this tent at? and going on and about all this stuff going, where am I putting this tent at? I'm looking all over Houston. I know I can get a circus tent. And then a friend of mine that I've been ministering to, he has a martial arts studio in Humboldt. And every year he has a awards banquet. Over 2,000 people from all over the world come to this banquet. And I was at it last year, and then this year he called me up. And this is at the Humboldt Civic Center. And he says, he called me up and he says, come on down. And I went down to the Civic Center, and there's an arena right right there too. And he says, I want to put Christian music in there. Will you do it? And I said, sure. So between his martial arts awards banquet, I mean, there's people from all over the world that come to this thing. He sits there and he says, I'm giving you the arena. And it dawned on me right then and there, the circus tent I saw was not a circus tent. It was this arena. Praise God.
So, anyhow,
I have bands. We created a secular atmosphere. This is so overwhelming. This is so great. We created this secular type atmosphere to minister.
Wow.
We have the awards banquet, people coming over. I have bands coming in from different nations. I have, in fact, I'm still looking for more bands. I got about 10 bands that's supposed to be coming. And I have a Motown band that's going to be there. I have Elvis impersonator. That's to be able to hold and keep the people there and keep them attention. We got vendors, anybody who sells jewelry, whatever they want to sell. We don't problem with, we don't sell any meat. Okay? So, it's not my doing, this is his doing. But anything, you know, I've got churches coming, the churches I've been talking to, they're getting involved. In fact, if you want to do a fundraiser, whatever you want to do, we're selling tickets, $10 a ticket. The church needs $5 of the $10. This
Amen.
Is something that Mr.
Wong
decided to do.
Amen.
So every $10 ticket, and it gets you into the arena, it gets you into the music, it gets you into the awards banquet to get to see everything and be a part of it. And if you want to be a vendor there, we have the tables and that to set up. They're $100 a table. Anything that you make off them tables is yours. Anything that the church who comes in and wants to be a part of and all the other stuff, you know, all we're taking is, like I said, the $5, you keep $5 on that. But I have bands coming in, and we're expecting between 6,000 and 8,000 people.
Amen.
I have bands coming from around the world that are coming here. And I'm still looking for more bands. Yeah, local bands and whatever else. We're going to be ministering. We're going to have an open baptism right there in the arena, right there in front of the secular, as well as everything else. We're going to have a jousting type of deal there for Chinese. It's entertainment to a degree, but we're going to be able to minister in the gospel of Jesus and be able to minister to the people. And this is all coming. And it's all going to be happening March 14th at the Humboldt Civic Arena and the Civic Center both. We took over both places. So if you still want to be interested and want to do this, you can go to my Facebook site. It's under Pastor William Irwin, and contact me through messages there or friend me, and I'll befriend you, and then and we'll correspond, and I can give you a lot more information on it.
Amen. Does anybody else have anything they want to say? I think we got another person for to come on at 8:30, but do we have another person that's out there in prayer land who needs prayer? But I feel an urging of the Lord that there needs to be done. Amen. Mute your phone, please. Mute your phone. And the thing that calls us as believers. Mute your phone, please. Mute your phone, please. And we as believers, the time is ours. Don't belong to nobody but us.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, I want to let you know, our God's an awesome God.
Amen.
Time is up. Whatever we need to just see. The Father is waiting to hear the intercessory prayer that we make to Jesus, who's going to take it to the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when the Father gets it, he's going to say, those are my children down there. He's in, but he can't move. Legally, he can't move until we. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. And I'm just so happy what the Lord is doing for me. I don't know what all y'all say, but I know the Lord has been blessing me. Going
Amen.
And sitting down and getting up, and God is blessing me. And all
Amen.
I can do is just, all I can say, they taught me in school, Aleha, la, ha, li, ha, la, ha, la, ha, la, ha, li, ha, la. To the highest praise, I give it to you, Father.
Yeah.
To the highest praise. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is anybody else for a prayer? Anybody else out there? I'm not calling it vegan, but I know it's a time to pray for those that don't know. Amen. And,
amen.
Amen. And
Go ahead,
Prophet. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I was just going to say, I'm about ready to close out. I have a thing I have to get to here shortly to take care of something. So I just wanted to bless everybody tonight as they're listening. And I hope that this ministry here with you're doing it, that God will continue to bless you and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ministers who come online and preach your word, Lord, that you touch each and every one, and touch somebody that will change their lives.
Amen. We got a Brenda, are you there? Brenda? Hello? One thing I would say to those of us who can believe, tonight's the night that God is doing. One of the things I say that young lady called, amen, that young lady called, we have the right. We're in prayer time. Amen. Amen. Mute your phone, please. Mute your phone. Amen. Amen. Mute your phone. Okay, let's move this way then. Amen. So I have everybody muted out except one line, and that's 11:26. Are you out there listening? That's the last four letters of your cell phone. 11. Let me put it on here. Hallelujah. 12:36. God is able. And while I have you on the line with me, I want you to know one thing. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. That we are engaged in a battle. And that battle is costly. That battle is costing us. If you're not serving God in the truth and righteousness, you're going to find things that's going to run up against you. They're going to bump you. They're going to try to stop you from doing anything. But if you trust in God, like you say you trust in God, God is able to do what he says he's going to do. And one thing I would say before I turn the lines back on, Jesus said this word. He said, no man can come to the Father except he come by me. Yeshua HaMashiach. You can't get to Jehovah Nisqadus. You can't get to Jehovah I Am. You can't get to, unless you come by Yeshua HaMashiach, unless you come by Jesus Christ. You can't. And I always sing that song, devil, you had your place, but you lost it. You was out. I count you. 1, 2, 3. You were out. 3 rounds. 3 rounds you out. 1, 2, 3. You out. You out, devil. So move on. You have nothing else to offer me. So move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the lines open. Okay, somebody got a prayer, a statement, a word they want to say regarding God this night while we're on the air?
Pastor
Hannah,
this is Prophetess Rosetta Cooper. I'm excited to hear about the opportunity that God has allowed to take place at the Humble Civic Center, that though there be some secular activities going on, yet there will be prayer. There will be a baptism. And there is also an opportunity for ministers and people who have ministries to participate, sell T-shirts or whatever it is, to promote the ministry of Jesus Christ and to get your ministry out there. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. The organization's going to make money by selling the booths. People have an entry fee that they're going to have to pay. Pastor Hunter, it is time for the men and the women of God to be about his business. Pastor Hunter, they just want to do the pulpit on Sunday. They don't want to do anything extra. To draw the center, you know, a tent. You can't find a tent revival, Pastor Hunter. It's been a long time.
Yes.
Everybody wants to go through the trouble of setting the tent up. And the sound system. It's a lot of work, but together it can be done.
It can be done.
But I'm going to try my best to remember to call in from 7 to 8 as you pray for the nation.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, because tomorrow's the time is important for us to come in tomorrow, because our nation is in trouble, whether you want to believe it or not, even though we're in God's hand. But see, those who work for us, there's some you love, there's some that hate you. We got to get them on the ship. See, the door, like the old man said, the door is slowly closing. If you don't hurry up and get here on time, you're going to miss the boat. And the word that I received tonight out of all the teachers, starting this from Wellbound right now, and the first lesson taught tonight was hope in God. But when we hope in God, we come to Yeshua HaMashiach. We come to Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know, I want to from the bottom of my heart, what God is doing it according to his will. Not my will, his will. Amen.
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 The more we take God as word, the Bible in Deuteronomy says, God say, it is I. To all you on the prayer line, or to all of you listening, it is I who gave you. It is I who gave you the power to get wealth, that you may bring my covenant in the land. And some people see that as an opportunity to take the money, put it in their pockets, do what they want to do. No, that's what it's not. It's for. It's for the kingdom of Almighty God. It's for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to thank God for all y'all that are listening tonight, and I want to leave a prayer before we go off there, because this time tomorrow, if the Lord is going to let us live, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be on the line with another sister. She's an evangelist, and we're gonna offer prayer for the nation. Go to my website. You see what I put on there, Facebook, rather. And I want you to know the love of God is so rich, so pure, so holy. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this night, we come to say thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for our bodies that almost out of connection, but you brought us back. For you showed us in your word, you showed us that how Jesus and the first book in Galatians, he said, he gave his life that we might have a right to God. And by us having a right to God, we have a relationship. And our relationship is that we praise him, we love him, we adore him, and we magnify his name. Above all that we can say or do, God is still God. And Father, tonight we said thank you. I'm asking you that in Houston, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will start burning more light. And because the pastors have declared tonight, we have declared tonight the word of God to be sharp as a two-edged sword, and we just destroy, and we want to speak healing to the bodies. Speak healing to the heart. Speak healing to the eyes. Speak healing to the ears. Speak healing to the arms. Speak healing to the legs. Keep healing to the seven layers of the skin. Speak healing to the liver, to the intestines. Speak healing to the pancreas. Speak healing, hallelujah, to the throat. Speak healing to the eardrum, speak healing to the whole body in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, because you paid the price 2,000 years ago. You said, your last word, Father, the work you sent me to do, hallelujah, it is finished. It is finished. He finished the work. They paid the price for all of us. And he's saying to us, he said, you don't have to bow to sin. You don't have to bow. You don't have to bow to hate. You don't have to bow. You don't have to bow to stupidity. He said, all you got to do is Psalm 121. Lift your eyes up to the heaven whence cometh to who made the heaven and earth. I will lift mine eyes to the heaven who made the heaven and earth. It's our God. It's our God. And I want us to know tonight, because the anointing will flow tonight over those who have a desire to see what God is doing, how God is doing it. And all I can say to you, what I know, our God is an awesome God. And then, Father, because we just said thank you. I want you to stop tonight, Father, and just bless yourself. Bless yourself. You're such a great God. You're a good God. You're a merciful God. You ever love
me?
Bless yourself. Bless yourself tonight, Father. Yeah. Bless yourself. Because you thought. Bless yourself tonight. Yes, Lord. Because you showed us in your word how you showed. God, you say, you look at the devil and you grin at him, and we done learned how to just have fun with you, Father. He's lost the battle. He's lost the battle. But we know that's a process. It's a process. And Father, that many of my family, I want to see them saved. Some have crossed on over. And I don't know, but you know. And I pray for my 120 because I'm pressing in. I ain't going to give it up. Until the last day, he kept the word. Because God will do what he say he's going to do. And Father, as I place my hand on this radio station, I'm asking that the anointing, the fire, flow this radio station and touch somebody's heart right now. When we're going to go to that thing in a number, let the fire. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. I love you, and remember, I will see you on the next time. Until this, shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.